You can listen anywhere on the iHeartRadio app. All you have to do is download it on your smartphone, and you can hear Dodger Talk anywhere in the world. And on Wednesday nights, you can hear Dodger Talk with Andre Ethier, who is with us for the full hour and has been ever since we have been on suspension of baseball and in this social distancing quarantine. And Andre, you're not in your garage with the Dodger Stadium background. You're back in your home, and you have that pennant in behind you. And if not a lot of people were listening the first week, so why don't you share with everybody as we are Zooming what's going on with that pennant that is not a Dodger?
I know it's not a Dodger. I think Clayton got a little crap the other night for saying that Will Clark was his favorite player, but in my background, it's a pennant. My dad got me this in 1991, and it is a pennant of Ken Griffey Jr., his rookie card, and another one of his cards from 94 that was added to there. But that pennant used to be hanging on my wall. The card used to be on my wall. My dad put this in a frame later on in high school when I moved out of the house. Going on to college, he made this for me. But Ken Griffey Jr. was my favorite player growing up. Idolized him. Wanted to have that sweet lefty. You know, seeing him as a kid, spring training, going to Peoria Sports Complex, following Ken, around the complex and seeing him. And then, sure enough, 12 years later, I'm stepping on a big league field and I'm getting a chance to play against him. So, that's my Ken Griffey Jr. pennant, and the only thing I have decorated in my office here right now is that pennant that kind of hung there and figured out a good spot to put on the wall.
Well, Andre, we're taking calls tonight, and we do have our special guest on the line. So why don't you say hello, Ken Griffey Jr.?
Hey, what's going on, Andre?
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Mr. Griffey?
Don't be calling me Mr. Griffey. Hey, how are you, man?
Very good, very good. How you doing, sir?
I'm all right. Just hanging out at the house. Doing the parent thing. I got all three kids at the house, so it's been pretty cool. But I try to tell them they got to move out.
I hear you.
26-24.
I have chills right now being able to talk to you right now on the radio. I appreciate you coming on and talking to us and. I don't know if David or Sharon, but that's my story. I like to tell kids when I go out and speak or tell them about, this great game that we got a chance to play, from a young age to the major leagues, and how it really is a dream and how you can imagine in whatever you dream and you believe sometimes ends up being that, being reality later on in life. And, it's a true story. I can say my dad would take me out to see you play, and 12 years later I get to put on a Dodger uniform and step on that field, and I'm a peer of yours now, and that's was a surreal moment in my baseball career for me.
Yeah, I appreciate that, but I will tell you that you were one of my favorites. Watching you play, coming as a young guy, how you handled yourself was very impressive, and I always rooted for you until we played you those three games, and then you were the one of the guys that I looked at in the stat box to see what was going on, and there's only like five or six guys that throughout a year that I would look for, and then you were one of those guys.
Well, I appreciate that, and that makes my night sitting here in another night of quarantine that much better. And other than that, everything else going good in your whole time, and other than trying to kick kids out of the house now?
No. They're all right. We have a lot of fun. My wife wins all the board games, and we can't understand why. I'm the banker, and I still lose in Monopoly. They get 200. I pass go, I get 2,000. And I still don't end up winning. But, then there's the video game wars, pool wars. I mean, we've been pretty good. I am 3 weeks out of, I mean, excuse me, 3 months out of shoulder surgery. I finally had it done after 9 years, And I found out this morning that it didn't take, so I've got to go back in there.
Oh yeah, sorry to hear that.
But
when's the last time you took BP on a field?
I actually took it last year.
Okay.
I try to do BP two or three times a year on the field. I still work with some kids, so I still have to help them. Try to keep, the one thing about baseball, it's always you can learn from somebody who's played. And it doesn't matter what era they played in. It's always picking their brains. Like, I was 38, 39, and I walked past San Francisco's clubby. And Willie Mays and, McCovey were in there. And I tried to slide by. They'd be like, no, you got enough home runs to come on here and sit down. And I went in there and sat down. And they started, because I still think of myself as one of those. I played the game, but these guys, to me, are baseball royalty. So I look up to them. So when I get to see Hank and Willie and all the old-timers when I go back to the Hall of Fame, because I am one of the youngest members, I sit there and don't say a word. And they're like, yo, you got numbers like we do. I'm like, yeah, but I'm going to just stay over here and sit in this corner and let y'all talk. I try to bring my dad because it's his era that is usually there. And they start lying about the stuff that they did. The older I get, the better I was. And, I walked up, I went to school 12 feet of snow uphill both ways. And I mean, I'm like, oh, my. But, I think of myself, I try to think of myself as a normal person, but I understand my place in baseball history, but I don't try to throw that in somebody's face because other people have done, way more than me, not in baseball terms, but in real life, they've done things that, especially right now with the doctors and nurses, what they're trying to do to get us out of this situation that we're in.
13-time All-Star, 10 Gold Gloves, 7 Silver Sluggers, and was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2016. That's the great Ken Griffey Jr., just a normal guy with those numbers, and just had shoulder surgery at 50 years old. That's what you have to look forward to, Ethier.
The reason I ask you about the BP is because Dave Roberts last year called me out of the blue. Dodgers were in Phoenix, where I currently live now, and said, one of the guys on the team didn't have a partner to hit BP that day and asked me to come down to hit with them. And it was the first time, I think, in 18 months I had taken batting practice on the field. So I said, sure, why not? And I went out there and did it. And I think I was smiling ear to ear like I was a little kid again, getting to hit, batting practice out on a big league stadium, in the field again. And that was something I was looking forward to this summer, to be able to do that a few times again at Dodger Stadium and just, go out there and, like you said, pay back to some of the young guys, but at the same time, getting to play for an organization like the Dodgers, you still get a chance to see some of these great former Dodgers that are still around that are, from a generation or two or three before me. And it's a chance to give back and honor those, those things and the way those guys set the way for us in the game.
Yeah, I think that's important. I think that, like I said, it's a learning experience. I've been out the game for 10 years, and I still rely on guys, number one, who played, and the guys who've been out of the game since the 70s to talk baseball. That's the great thing about this game is it's hit, run, throw, and catch. But there's also a mental aspect that people don't really understand. You bat maybe four times, if you're lucky in a game.
Yeah.
And it's easy because, being lefty, we may have two opportunities to swing the bat. The other two is like, hey, we're not going to really let you win this game. So you're just going down to first base.
Yep.
I tell them there's three guys in the bullpen waiting on us that are all left-handed specialists. I said, I wish I was right-handed sometimes. And people are like, no, you don't.
Yeah, right?
Like, no, I don't.
But, isn't there a right-handed specialist now? You still haven't heard of a right-handed specialist, but there's left-handed specialists now.
No, and all the guys throwing like 97 from the left side with short arms. I'm like, hey, that's not what we want. I want somebody that long, slow release. You know, but the game's changed, but you can still learn from it. You know, I have a 26-year-old, and the way he thinks about baseball and other sports are totally different than I do. But we still have the same mentality, is to go out there and compete and try to win every day. But it's just funny because he's like, hey, you know, you can't take nobody out. You can't slide hard. You can't do this, you know. I got friends talk about, hey, why y'all keep beaning people? I said, no. We don't bean people. We take care of our own. Yeah. And they're like, what?
Yeah, one
of, you know, we take care of our own. You know, if I can't go up there and feel comfortable at the plate, then the other team shouldn't be as comfortable as I am. I think that, you know, that's the way it should be. You know, if I'm comfortable, then they should be comfortable. If I ain't comfortable, nobody should be comfortable. And you know, but ain't nobody, you know, for us, it's not trying to hurt somebody. It's, you know, we've got to, you know, when we go in that clubhouse, we know the guys who are not playing hard and the guys who are not giving it all. And you know, we don't accept that. And I know that the Dodgers, you know, when we played them, they didn't accept that either. You know, when
that's a big organizational thing. I know that was instilled in me when I first got there, but also has been, I think, more of a, you know, a thing that's pressed upon young players and players there. It's the accountability side, you know, accountability, not only what you to yourself and your teammates, accountability to the organization. And like you said, if you go in that locker room as a player, you got to be able to look at your other teammate in the eye and, you know you did what it took, whether you have his back, whether you did in that game, whatever it is, to have his back. And I think, unfortunately, sometimes, and you could probably, I don't know if you agree or not, but you look around, some teams are lacking some of that accountability now because of how some young guys think. And it's nice to have some of these teams that still have some older guys, I think, that were taught by guys like you, like the Jeff Kents, you know, like the Nomar Garciaparras that you played with, that knew and came up with still that type and pedigree of baseball, especially the major league side.
Yeah, I think, you know, I was taught as an early age that, you know, the respect is the 24, 25 other guys in that locker room and coaching staff. That's where you get your respect from. Once you get your respect from there, it travels. If they don't respect you in there, then you're not going to go anywhere. They're just going to get rid of you and send you down, and then you're not going to come up. But I had to learn that. But also had a dad who instilled that in me at an early age. It was the respect factor is in the clubhouse. It'll travel outside the clubhouse because they'll see it by the way you play and how you go about handling your business. I tell everybody I couldn't be a pitcher because I would lose a game 1-0, but I would protect my player.
Yeah.
And that's just the way I am. You know, everybody sees that I smile a lot. I hate it to lose more than anything. Losing to me, I understood it, but it was unacceptable. And that's why a lot of times when we lost, I'd be the first one out of the locker room because I had to get out of there and try to start fresh. And then the other fact is if I hit 2 home runs, I'd get out of there early because I didn't want to talk about myself. Because mm-hmm. I also grew up in a household that you let other people do your talking. You do your talking by how you play. You know, I'm not the self-promoting guy that some guys are. I'm this, I'm that. You know, my dad has never asked me that question.
Ken, I'll promote you because all I can see in my head right now while you're talking and thinking is all those highlights I used to watch when I was a kid sitting in my house and those catches there in the King Dome and those home runs. And like I said, this is a surreal moment that I keep pinching myself and I can't believe that I'm getting a chance to be on the radio, on the phone right now, talking to you. And I mean, like I said, I appreciate so much you coming on and talking to us tonight. And,
but it's no problem at all.
Making my whole career, everything come full circle for me.
Just say life, your whole life. We've made it happen tonight.
My whole life. I know.
No.
I'm gonna be like that 12-year-old sleeping with that Ken Griffey pennant again tonight.
please don't.
Hey, Ken, how does that make you feel? I mean, we're watching The Last Dance now. We're watching The Last Dance on ESPN. You see the respect that everybody has for Michael Jordan. You're held in that same regard for guys that came after you, guys like Andre Ethier. Do you realize that, or do you try not to let that come into your head?
No, we've been watching it, but it's been funny in our house because, you know, my kids were younger when I was playing, and Trey's the only one being able to come into the locker room and see things. But my youngest, who just turned 18 a couple days ago, he's sitting there like, he's looking at me, looking at my wife and going, and my wife's looking at him going, oh, they cut from the same cloth. Him and Mike acted like, because I hated to lose. I just didn't want to lose. But and baseball, and I tell everybody this, it's the only sport that you can neutralize the best player because the defense has the ball. If I don't want your best player to hit at any given time, I can put out four fingers and tell him to go to first base. And people don't realize how hard it is to play the game of baseball. They just think that, you know, it's, you know, hey, these guys make it look so easy until they see 97 up close. And, you know, I've had friends come to the house. I had a batting cage in my old house, and it was set on 72 miles an hour, and it blew past them the entire time. I think they hit, like, 1 out of 20, like, foul-tipped it. And I start laughing. And I'm like, by the way, that's a changeup. They go, why are you having that as a changeup? I said it at a changeup because I'm just trying to get swings. I'm not trying to – I'll get timing when I get to spring training. Right now I'm just trying to – get my swing right. And they're like, this is a changeup. I go, oh yeah. And then, you know, I have professional golfers that look at, like, oh, it's only 300 feet. That's a wedge. Or it's 400 feet. You know, that's a pitching wedge, until they stand in center field and go, oh, you got to cover all this ground. I'm like, oh yeah, let me stand over where the right fielder stand and the left fielder stand and look at it that way. And then they have no credit. They're like, ah, let me just go on about my business and hit golf balls. But it's, you know, people, when they sit up in the stands, it looks so small, but it's really so big. Even though, there's a lot of room out there. But there's guys who are professional athletes who go out there and make it look easy when sometimes it's really not.
Does it still upset you, Ken, that you weren't able to play in a World Series? Andre got that chance in his last year playing, and the Astros robbed him. We won't get into that, but the competitor in you, how much do you look back at your career? And I've always heard from professional athletes that you focus sometimes more on coming up short than the successes that you guys had.
No, because it's not owed to you to play in postseason. The only thing that's owed to me is what I can do right now. I can't control 24 other guys on the field. I can't control the mistakes that somebody has made. I can go out there and play as hard as I can, and that's it, and not worry about it. My dad, when he played with me, he said, you know, I played at the time 18 years. He goes, I've got three titles, you know, 75, 76, and 90. And the greatest accomplishments I had is I was able to play with you.
Yeah.
And that's what he said to me.
That's beautiful. that's really good.
And if you ask people outside of the city that wins the championship, they don't know who won.
Yeah, that's
true.
If
you ask, you know, it's the wildest thing. And how I you know, when I talk to parents, because Andre, you probably run into this when you talk to parents who've got little kids and they're like, hey, I need you to do this. And I want my kid to do this. I said, is he having fun? And they go, yeah, go keep it that way. Mm-hmm. Just keep your son that way. And they're like, what do you mean? You know, I want you to coach my child. I'm like, no, I just want him to go out and have fun. Yeah. And people don't understand. I'm like, he is 9 years old. I could care less about winning or losing because it's not important. What's important is the snacks after the game. That's the only thing important. And they're like, no, it's not. I go, okay, tell me your best game. And they'll go, well, I went 3 for 4. I had a double, blah, blah, blah. And I go, did y'all win or lose? And they go, I don't remember. I said, exactly. It's all about.
Well, I think if you come back and be my coach, I might want to give it a run again. So you think,
I might be a little underqualified for that position.
No, hey, Ken, you're overqualified. Let's be real here.
No, I'm underqualified for coaching. I tell everybody that. I actually was funny is when I retired, I coached Pop Warner football.
Whoa. Was that easy or hard for you? Did you not expect as much from your players as if you would if you were coaching baseball?
Well, no. I'm the same way. My first year, I was the assistant head coach. Well, I was the assistant head coach all 3 years, but I was the roving coach. I didn't have an offense. I didn't have a defense. And what I wanted to do was walk around. And to tell y'all the truth, what I did was there was a coach that I wanted to coach my youngest because he coached my oldest. And he didn't have a kid on the team. And he was by far the fairest coach that I've ever seen. And he retired. And I said, hey, I need a favor. And he's like, what's that? I said, I need you to coach my youngest. He said, well, I'm retired. So I sent him a video. He's like, all right, I'm in. So I was like, okay. But then he goes, I need a team mom. I was like, that's cool. I got one for you. So I signed my wife up to be the team mom.
Now, you had everything.
Well, that's a package deal if I ever heard it.
Right. So the week after I retired, she goes, hey, you have classes. I said, what do you mean classes? She said, you got coaching classes because you have to take a coaching class. Huh. I said, what do you mean? She said, I signed you up to be one of the coaches for your son's football team. Like, wow. So now I'm the coach. Now, I didn't coach offense and didn't coach defense. I spent most of my time talking to the parents and getting them to relax. We're not here to win football games. We're here to build young men and character. And I said, yeah, there's some kids who are better than others. There's some kids who will play more, but everybody will play. Now, we have an 8 minimum play. That you have to play 8 minimum plays. Well, we didn't have an issue with that at all the entire year. I did a hockey line change, as my friends call it. We were on defense, and I sent 10 kids out of there. I said, who hasn't played? They were like, we're like winning by 3 touchdowns. I sent 10 kids out, and the head coach looked at me like, what are you doing? I said, I'm getting rid of my everybody. The only person who's going to play is the safety, and we can rotate safeties. So – they were like, what? I said, fine, we're going to do it. So if they come back, that's too bad. And then another time, I made a kid who has been an offensive line all his life. I stuck him on my backfield. I moved my running backs to the line. I said, whatever side they line up on, you follow them. And I ran him 9 straight times until he scored a touchdown.
Now, he was your fridge.
Oh, yeah. We had a celebration penalty, personal foul penalty. The team left the bench. They carried him off the field. Now we have 8-year-olds kicking now from the 32-yard line because we got 2 penalties of 15 yards. my coach turns around. The head coach turns around and starts going off on me. And I said, hold on, man. He goes, what are you doing? I go, I'm making everybody happy. Mm-hmm. And he says, why are you doing that? And he's looking at me, and I turned to him. I said, look at his dad. Look at his mom. They're in the stands crying. His dad is a sheriff. of our community. He's in the stands crying. And I go, that's what sports is about. That's a memory that, number one, they will never forget. But you were sitting there trying to win football games and try to beat somebody. When it ain't about that, it's all about memories of being a child. Because as adults, sometimes we forget what it's like to be that child. Because the only people who mad on the way home are the parents. I can't believe you didn't swing at that pitch. I can't believe you struck out. Yeah. They've already talked about, okay, we got a pool party we're going to. I got a place, PlayStation I'm going to. I'm on Fortnite. I'm like, they've already, you know, erased that game from their memory banks. We're the ones as adults that remember that, and we shouldn't. We should always try to encourage our kids. I tell my kids, I can't control what everybody does. I can control my effort. And I've never yelled at them for a win and loss game. I've yelled at them for effort because that's the most important thing. Because if you give me an effort when you're losing, you're going to give me an effort when you're winning. And you're going to understand what it takes to have to give that effort. And if somebody's not giving that effort, you'll be able to motivate them in a positive way to give a better effort.
That's beautiful. That's a great lesson. And hopefully all the parents listening right now take advice from a Hall of Famer like Ken Griffey Jr. Man, that is such a great story, Ken. We appreciate you sharing that with us. And thank you for calling in and surprising Andre, because he's done a lot for a lot of people. And I wanted to try to do something for him to make him happy.
So, okay. Now, Andre, I got a question.
Yes, sir.
So when I come to Dodger Stadium, me and you could take BP together?
Well, 100%. What a question. We will get that lined up immediately.
All right.
Yeah. When the Reds or whoever come in town, we can plan that out accordingly.
It could be the Marlins. It could be the Marlins. We don't care.
Yeah, it don't matter. Or we can get when interleague, when the Mariners come back into town.
Perfect.
Yeah. That is awesome. Well, Ken,
we'll both don our team's uniforms and go out there and take batting practice.
Perfect. I'm in.
That is awesome.
Okay, let's set that up, and I look forward to it. But yeah, Ken, I appreciate it so much, sir. Like I said, you said it's the things you remember when you're a little kid. This is what I remember watching you. Having a goal, having someone to strive after. I knew what I wanted to do, play Major League Baseball. I had someone to model my game after, and I want to thank you personally for giving me that mirrored image. It might have been a little bit of far-reaching, but it was a mirror I was able to look at and emulate and try to be like, and you definitely helped me get to where I got to be.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah,
thanks for calling, Ken. And I miss you. I miss hanging out with you in the Reds visiting clubhouse. You used to hold court on top of that bat case. And Adam Dunn, you would fire some shots at Adam Dunn. We used to have a lot of fun, and it's great to hear your voice again.
Thank you. I still fire shots at Adam, but I just don't do it from my trunk. Even though my trunk's in my garage right now.
Take care of yourself, and I can't wait to see you take batting practice with Andre. Get that shoulder fixed.
I am. I'm getting ready to do it in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, be safe and stay healthy, Ken. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
There he goes. Hall of Famer, Ken Griffey Jr. And Andre, I got to give props to the president of the Hall of Fame. We all know him here in Southern California, Tim Mead. He worked with me to have Ken call in and surprise you tonight. And we'll talk more about it. How about this?
Yeah.
Catch your breath.
Ooh, yeah,
we'll
talk about it on
the other side. Ken Griffey Jr., the Hall of Famer, calling in tonight. That was the big guest to surprise Andre Ethier tonight. Awesome. The Kid on AM 570 LA Sports.